Knowing somebody by reputation is knowing facts about them. Knowing external features, he's tall, he's short, he's big boned, he's not. Her gifts are intellectual gifts, academic pursuits. Her gifts are on the athletic field or the arts. That's knowing people by reputation, facts about them. With the death of Prince this week, our media, local and national, is doing a good job researching those facts about that man, from his childhood days in school to his career and to the facts surrounding his death. We will know by reputation that man more now than we did a week ago. Many know Jesus that way. But the problem is, if we define Jesus only by his reputation, we're going to miss what we're called to be. And what we're called to be is church. Church is more than just this beautiful building. It's something you and I are called to be. We will have a hunger in us that we will pursue and try and nourish through things or successes or accomplishments, and we'll never get there. Jesus desires us to know him in a personal way. And in the pages of sacred scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, there are stories of countless women and men who come to know our Lord, know our Heavenly Father, know the Lord Jesus, and know the Holy Spirit. And they can point you and me in the direction to look as we try to encounter this Lord and get to know him. And encountering our Lord is what he desires. We actually encounter him in countless ways in the course of a day. Whether we know it or not is another question, but the encounter is there. And the Lord always picks the right moment, the right situation, the right circumstance to put us in a spot where that encounter leads to a personal relationship. There are people here who know Jesus in a personal way because they know he's the one that feeds them physically, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, relationally. There are people who know our Lord in a personal way because they know he protects them constantly. Anticipate their need is there when they fall. There are people who know our Lord personally because when they have strayed, he's gone in search of them and has found them and they've come back. Some know healing and some know forgiveness. I grew up attending a Catholic school, lived in a community that raised its children. I knew about our Lord through my Catholic education, through attending Mass every Sunday, praying daily. And all those little encounters kept adding up till a moment in Denver, Colorado, on my first retreat ever, where the Lord said, "All this happened because I love you. And in that love, I've given you eternal life." I experienced a joy deep within that has been there in the ups and downs of life, the successes and failures, the life and the death. And I live knowing that I'm saved and loved by the Lord and loved in a very personal way. And yet I hunger to know that ever more deeply. And the Lord provides. From reputation, knowing about our Lord, to knowing him. There's a great saint, Augustine of Hippo is his name. And Augustine framed a prayer once he knew the Lord. But this prayer is a nice movement from knowing about to knowing. Here's Augustine's prayer. Father, he said, we find it difficult to come to you because our knowledge of you is so imperfect. In our ignorance, we imagined you to be like the enemy. We wrongly thought that you take delight in punishing our sins. And we have foolishly conceived you to be a tyrant over human life. Something happened in Augustine's life. And here's how he framed that knowing. But, he said, since Jesus has come among us, he has shown us that you are so loving and that our resentment was groundless. He knows him. When we know our Lord in a personal way, we know that we participate in God's love, that there is a mutuality about the relationship. God loves us and we love God. Two becoming one. Think about it. If you see little white dresses this morning, it's not by accident. That mutuality leads to a deeper trust. An invitation to trust the Lord and a response that says, I will. And that trust loves leads to a love that just continues to grow, grows to the point where we allow ourselves to be guided by God, where we're willing to conform our will in our lives according to his design. Knowing the Lord leads us to know that we are forgiven. We make no excuses for our sins. We admit them. But we're willing to walk with other sinners to the mercy of the Father. Knowing the Lord and knowing him ever more deeply throughout our lives, our inner self becomes inseparable from Christ. And friends, our inner self becomes inseparable from one another, especially the poor, the vulnerable, the meek and the weak among us and in our world. Pope Francis is so good about showing that. How do we know the Lord then? How do we come to know him? Is it like the process of getting to know another human being? Absolutely, we spend time with him. And in that spending time, begin to discover the mystery of who he is. I invite you to spend time with him. And 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to come in this little room here to the left of the tabernacle and just sit there quietly with our Lord in the Eucharist, there. And it's there that you can encounter him. His word opens up those encounters for us. In fact, I'd like to invite you to read that word. If you go to the bishop's website, United States Council of Catholic Bishops, usccb.org, on the website, you'll see a calendar on the right-hand side. Double-click on next Sunday's date, and the readings will come up. And I am confident if you read them throughout the week, you will begin to hear the Lord speaking to you. You'll get to know him. And that word will be transformative in a new way when you come next week. It's in communion, in Eucharist, that we encounter him also. And I'm so grateful for these 30 second graders that are here today that are receiving their first communion. Boys and girls, you're the example to us of what Jesus wants. As he comes to you, he's going to come for 20 minutes. It's going to take 20 minutes for your body to kind of do what it does to the host. And in 20 minutes, the Lord's just going to come and be all over inside of you. You'll get to know him. Here's you, Here's Jesus and one. And let their delight over a first communion be a source of renewal for you and for me and for us together. That's how we know the Lord there. And finally, it makes it inseparable, makes us inseparable from one another too. There was a man who came out of his house one Christmas morning. He found a little boy from the neighborhood looking with great admiration at this man's brand new car. The little boy asked, "Does this car belong to you?" And the man said, "Yes. In fact, my brother gave it to me as a Christmas present. I just gotten it." With that, the little boy's eyes widened and he said, "You mean somebody gave that to you? And you didn't have to pay anything for it?" The man replied, saying, "That's right. My brother gave it to me as a gift." And with that, the little boy let out a long sigh and he said, "Boy, I would really like..." And the man thought. He thought and he expected the boy to say, "I would like to have a brother like that who would give me a beautiful car." But instead, this is what the little boy said. "Wow, would I like to be that kind of a brother? I wish that I could give a car or something like it to my little brother." Somehow that little boy understood the secret of the commandment of love that Deacon Dennis so beautifully proclaimed, the commandment that Jesus gave to the apostles. Love one another as I have loved you. True love consists not in getting, but rather in giving. And in that inseparable connection to one another, one who knows the Lord knows that. It's part one of being church. We'll build on that next week and in the following week. But your assignment, if you're willing to accept it, is to begin to prayerfully read the word of the Lord that'll be proclaimed next week.